The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline. The world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media.
Loveline. Mike
Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality, Big Top.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes. Get on with it.
Yes, you live.
Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh, you live.
You live.
Yes!
I just want to say welcome back, everybody. I apologize for missing last night, but I'm very ill, very ill.
Yeah, Mike, we welcomed a ton of new friends all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them had not really met you yet, so... Sam, Samantha Shocker very kindly sat in on your behalf, and you were ill as hell.
Sure, she was happy to do so.
She was.
Did she look good?
Of course.
Yeah, she always does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really. I don't miss shows. You know that. You've been working with me long enough.
Yeah.
I don't miss radio, but I was. I probably could have worked, but I was pretty sick.
No,
and
no.
I'm lucky that I feel so much better today because I just fell asleep at like 8 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
You know. But thank you to Sam for filling in for me, and I apologize to all the audience. I'm sure most of you didn't mind. In fact, you were probably happy that I wasn't here. Tonight, a good show, New Politics. Out of all the musical guests that we have, they are some of our closest friends. They are really, really nice guys.
No, delightful, right?
Interesting dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're Danish. They are from Denmark. And then there's some weird, like, New York, like, super Guido guy.
Right.
And then he's in the band.
The comedy here is, I don't know if you know what Anne's nickname was back in the old days of K-Rock.
Danish Eagle?
Danish Anne.
Oh, Danish Anne?
Yeah.
Danish Anne. Well, it's funny. Our executive producer, Anne, the one Drew's referring to, brought in her super hot 19-year-old Danish niece.
Strangely enough.
To meet. And she's like, they're not very famous in Denmark.
Suddenly she's Swedish?
I don't know. Dude, come on. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Off the top of your head pull off.
Yes.
She actually speaks perfect English, which is hysterical.
Yeah.
I always wonder... I don't think that English is a particularly difficult language to learn, though.
Oh, talk to anybody who's had to learn it. Everything's an exception. Everything.
Mm.
Just try to explain laugh or neighbor to somebody. Or the word was.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
must.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pronunciation that's weird.
No. Our helping verbs and things, must, and the way we use advert, very messed up. Very messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, I guess. I guess I'm making excuses because I found
gerunds.
French is so impossible to learn. French seems completely
but everything is a rule, and once you learn the rules, that's the rules.
Yeah,
everything. No exceptions. Same thing with pronunciation. A couple little tiny exceptions, otherwise rules. That's it.
I only know how to say frog. I only know how to say skunk. bonjour, je suis
Le
Pierre. Je suis Pierre. I only know in your language. I know how to say skunk. I know how to say frog. Let's get things cracking. New Politics is going to join us very soon. Later tonight, the open forum. We want to know, what do you look back on in your romantic life with most dread? Like, what is that memory you have of romantic interaction that is the most hard to kind of get over? For me, it was the singing tape, the audio tape that I made of me singing Bryan Adams for a girl.
So it's things you will never live down in your romantic interviews.
Yeah, like what is your biggest romantic regret, I guess you should say?
Things you will never live down.
Yeah.
Like you cringe to this day when you think about
it. You cringe thinking about
it. Whether it's something you said to somebody, something you did with them, something you did in order to try to date them or to break up with them.
And I think young men particularly have a good collection of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because we try real hard. We watch... When women aren't around, we watch like The Notebook, and then we're like, "I'm going to do that one day."
But we should include in that the sort of awkward, weird breakups, you know, all the stuff. You know what I mean? The things that you look back on with not just regret but cringe.
Yeah. What do you cringe when you think of in your romantic career? Beth, hello. Start us off.
Some of it could be weird sexual stuff.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, now, what's up?
For me, the worst.
We'll get to the open forum later. What are you calling about?
For me, I'm calling about what do I do when I'm constantly with my partner and all I can think about is other men. I can't focus on him.
Well, when you say your partner, what is he? Your husband? Your boyfriend?
Yeah, my boyfriend.
Okay, how long you been with him?
Like 7 months, I think.
Okay.
7 months.
You're 18. How old is he?
He's 18 as well.
Okay, so just don't be with him.
Yeah, are you into him?
Okay.
Well, no, there's one of two things. Either you're not that into him, or you have sort of intimacy issues, and it's a way of keeping yourself not feeling close by sort of distracting yourself.
Either way, in my opinion, don't be with him.
Either way, it's a little goofed up. Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you have trouble with closeness?
Thank you, guys.
Wait. Listen to me.
She has trouble with hearing.
I know that and concentrating. But do you have trouble with closeness with other people?
Do I? Yeah, I guess you could say that. I have a hard time trusting people.
So were you abandoned or something when you grew up?
No. I guess I've just always kind of been an outsider in groups, so I just kind of have learned to keep to myself.
So listen to me. Where is your dad, your biological dad?
I have a great relationship with my dad, actually.
Is he married to your mom?
Did he get married to my mom?
Is he currently married to your mom?
Yeah, they were married for about 12 years, and they divorced when I was 4.
And that didn't bother you at all?
No, not really.
And then what happened to your dad at that point? When was the next time you
saw
him?
After that, I lived with my mom for a few years until...
Did you see your dad regularly during those few years?
Actually, not really.
That's profound. Listen to me. That is profound. And if you don't understand that that was profound, you need to start to get in touch with those feelings, unfortunately. Because to a little girl, when she's abandoned by her dad... for no good reason, and certainly no reason of her own, she will take responsibility for it. She will feel awful. She will long for him, and she will feel as though she created that. She's not worthy of love. That's bad. Thank you, Dad. So when I said with somebody abandoning, well, there it is. So naturally, it's hard to trust people.
I mean, I don't think he abandoned me. We have a great relationship now.
It's great that you've healed it now, but that's not then.
Okay.
And it's not reality. I mean, he may be a great guy. He may be a great dad, but...
He abandoned you.
But, that's the reality of it, you know? And sometimes, especially at 18, Beth, I mean, it's so, like, kind of between 18 and 22-ish, life just smashes you in the face. I mean, that's the way it goes because we have a very idealistic view of what life is, and because we live in such a small world when we're 16, 17, our whole world is kind of like our high school crew, and then we, all of a sudden, these gates get opened up to the rest of the world, and it's a bit overwhelming. And sometimes it takes opening up those gates to realize, like, stuff that happened when we were 4, 5, 6
important. I'm not saying you're an impaired person or you'll never be able to function. I'm saying you have trouble trusting people. That tells you something. Trust is a key component of being able to be intimate. You can't trust. You can't be vulnerable. And when we're abandoned as children, we stop trusting. Just the way it goes.
Yeah. Listen, if you're in school, you're afforded the ability then. I see you're calling from California. You're afforded the ability of mental health care.
Yeah.
Talk to a counselor. I mean, there's on every campus, there is one. Hello, Pat.
Hi.
What up?
What's going on? My question was, if you fall in love with someone, mm-hmm. No matter how long the time, how do you stop thinking about them? How do you just, like, move on?
It's not a bad question.
Wait, if you fall in love with somebody and then break up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get over a love? Well,
yeah.
How long has it been?
Well, we were together for 7 months.
How long has it been since you broke up?
About 4 months.
All right, that sort of takes about six months sometimes.
And also, I think it's dependent on the relationship itself. I mean, I've been out of relationships a couple hours, and I've been like, sweet.
Yeah, but the problem is that, how old is he?
You are 28, correct?
Ooh.
Yes, sir.
Now, at 28, you should be able to manage the kind of comings and going stuff after a six-month relationship.
Unless you don't have a lot of experience.
No, yeah. I know.
I tell myself that. I just find it difficult.
The problem is if you over-idealize and you confuse intensity for an actual intimate relationship, that can be tough. That excessiveness that some people get attached through can lead to difficulty, can lead to depression when there's a departure.
Well, yeah, that's the part where I feel like I'm at now, where it's like everything I do kind of just like brings me back to it.
So you might want to check out the work by a woman named Pia Melody. her work on love addiction and those topics and codependency. It's all the same sort of stuff that will help you understand why you get so stuck and why you get so intense and what you might need to do about it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, dude. 1-800-LOVE.
And also, by the way, talk to your doctor.
All right.
I'm sorry, I got to say this to him. If you're depressed, get that treated.
Well, he didn't sound too chipper.
If he's actually depressed, yeah. I mean, you know, dangerous.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's go to Vallejo, V-Town, Flossin. Hello, Amberlynn.
Hi.
What up?
So I was wondering, how do I get my boyfriend to stop looking at porn?
Why would you?
I don't know, because it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, don't. Stop it.
You have to, what, shoot him in the head?
Yeah, I mean, he likes looking at porn. It has nothing to do with you, and it's your weird insecurities that want him to not do it. He's not doing anything he's not kind of made up to do. And by the way, porn is just awesome now, and it's available to everyone. I'm being serious. It does sound funny, but you got to understand, Amberlynn, your boyfriend is not like you. He is a man. He is a boy. He has a penis, and his way of living and kind of appeasing his own hunger is so much different than yours as an 18-year-old girl. And has nothing to do with how little or much he likes you.
Or what he wants to be with, even. What he looks at is not necessarily have anything to do with what he likes.
Okay.
Anderson, shut up.
I didn't
say anything. Funny how I can get certain stuff bleeds into my headphones.
I'm just imagining what you must look at, because you always say that. So I'm just picturing, like, opposite Susan, like really large black ladies.
I don't know, because when Drew and I have our buddy time and we're looking at hot chicks in here, they're almost always.
But he's always so
Susan-esque.
Adamant, like it's not necessarily what they're into.
No, but it does. It does. I think he's right in the sense that
it's been
a lot
my
of guys.
A
lot of guys look at like group sex or bukkake, but it just that is appealing to them visually. They're not necessarily wanting to do it.
Exactly. Or they'll see certain body types that are visually appealing, but not necessarily somebody they want to be with. It just happens that way. You know who Duncan Trussell is?
Yeah.
Well, Duncan and I did another podcast. I don't think we've had this conversation yet. And unfortunately, his machine, we did like 45 minutes, the machine didn't turn on. But we had a great conversation. No one else could hear it. So we're going to do another one.
Okay.
And we were talking.
He's a funny guy.
He's a very – he and I together.
I never met him. I just –
he's somewhat like me and Corano together.
Yeah.
It's a very – we are different people, but we have a – he makes me see things through a new pair of glasses.
Yeah.
I love people like that.
That's a really big compliment to a comedic
He really makes me think in ways I don't normally think. But so we were talking about the virtual reality thing. We're going to go do a virtual reality thing. He knows lots of these guys. One out here, apparently. And then do a podcast on the heels of it. And I said, you know, when society's going to grind to a halt when porn gets a hold of this stuff. And he goes, oh, it's already there. I've done it. And he says, it's like literally the girl comes to the room, looks at you. She's in love with you. You're in love with her. Game on. And you're just, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was mind-bending.
I need more than that, though. I need her to not be in love with me.
Whatever you need.
You know what I'm saying?
The virtual reality can provide it is
right,
the point.
That's what I need.
And it's like, oh, God.
I need. And I
what
also
a horrible
need,
thing
also
for humanity, for males, anyway.
Unfortunately, I need, like, Thai ladyboys.
Done.
Yeah.
You need you. I could see you just trying to, like, bang yourself, Mike.
Anderson, that's not true.
Wow. That after disaster distorts your mind every
time.
Well,
and also, that's just not, I mean,
no,
that's just not true.
What is the,
it's
when
not
you
even
put,
close.
When
you
put,
know why I say that, though, right?
When are you putting that pot on?
American Psycho.
When are you putting that
you
pot on?
You love American Psycho so much, and he would definitely want to bang himself.
Yeah.
Anderson.
The after disaster new episode will be available later tonight. It was a doozy.
Yeah. Mike Liberace Catherwood.
What'd you walk in on there, Drew?
I walked on in them talking about how funny childhood male on child rape is, and punching women in the faces, and Nambula. They thought
no,
those
we're talking about why that.
Hold on,
why those things are
odd.
Hysterical was
you know,
their topic.
This is our radio show.
I know.
Let's welcome our new listeners.
Yeah,
with that let me just
say, none of that is funny, and that conversation.
Well, thanks for clarifying, Drew.
No, I'm just saying. I walked in.
We
in the
then made
of that.
Drew laugh at a Nambula joke right after that. That was good stuff.
Plenty of Nambula's funny. Listen, you know what isn't funny? Paying too much for razors.
Oh, I know.
That's, I mean, that, there's...
Or getting tased when you try to get them out from behind the new site.
I'm pro DollarShaveClub.com anti-Nambula. Let me just make that stance right
well
now.
Well done.
All right.
I'm with you.
Razors are loaded with too much stuff that you just don't need, and you end up paying for it. Do the smart thing and go to DollarShaveClub.com. It delivers amazing razors and grooming supplies for only a couple bucks. So shave time, shave money, DollarShaveClub.com. That's DollarShaveClub.com! David Soren and Louie join us next. They are New Politics, friends of the show, great guys. That's all coming up here on Loveline.
On Sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
In the past year, over $300 million were won playing fantasy sports at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. DraftKings.com is America's favorite daily fantasy sports website created by American sports fans for American sports fans. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, so you can play whenever, wherever you want. Pick from a wide range of sports, including college and pro basketball, hockey, and even golf. Or check out the newest sport, MMA. That's right, fantasy MMA. Draft your team in minutes, outscore your opponents, and cash in. New contests start every single day, so you can pick your team in the afternoon and win huge cash prizes by the end of the night. Don't wait. Join in on what hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already discovered at DraftKings.com. Hurry over to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code LOVELINE to play for free. That's right, gratis! DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter LOVELINE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com!
Hi there, and get ready. This is Bonnie Fuller, president and editor-in-chief of HollywoodLife.com, and we have got a brand new podcast coming at you. We've got tons of amazing celebrity news and big star interviews.
This is Chloe Malas, the senior entertainment reporter for Hollywood Life, and I have to tell you, I'm most excited for Bonnie Fuller to mispronounce some of the biggest celebrity names, like Scarlett Johansson, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and then my favorite, Ariana Grundle. Remember those, Bonnie?
Those are Canadian pronunciations.
Download a brand new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
First off, you're all so beautiful. Aww. Whenever the new politics joins us here on Loveline, I'm always a little bit, I feel awkward, Drew. I feel inadequate because they're so good looking.
I know you've always said that.
And I'm not on the top of my game this evening because of my flu or whatever it is that you've given me. I blame you always, Drew. Mm-hmm. Because the last time Drew gave me any type of medication, he almost killed me.
Oh,
that's
no.
Not a joke.
It was a shot, to be fair. It was a vaccine.
Yeah, but if he...
you remember that woman, the radiologist died of vaccine? Almost Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Only adverse event I've ever had from a vaccine.
If Drew didn't happen to be going to the airport the following day and happened to be listening to the Kevin and Bean show, I would have probably died.
Oh. Wow. That's bad.
Yes, he gave me the flu
serious.
Shot on Loveline.
Yeah.
And then I went in to do morning radio the next day, and my head was like a pumpkin.
This.
It was that big. Oh, it was it. And I couldn't breathe or anything. So I just thought, like, maybe people have that reaction to the flu shot. And Drew's like, no, go to the hospital. So Drew got me sick somehow. A Bad Girl in Harlem, the current album from the New Politics. We love you, boys. We're going to hear Everywhere I Go a little bit later tonight. I'm going to venture a bet that this is the only radio show that brought in someone from Denmark to help you feel a little bit better.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I'm blown away. I got to practice my Danish.
And our producer has like a lot of – she is of Danish descent, but she has like actual family in Denmark, and they're just here randomly. And so they came in to like be all Danish with you.
I love that. We need that. You know,
what does that entail? Like what do you guys –
Although I was hoping that I would have gotten an open-faced sandwich –
a croquette of some sort, yeah. And I do feel a bit bad. We didn't bring anybody from Northern New York to come hang out.
Northern New York, I like that.
Yeah, we didn't bring any like Long Islander.
That's okay.
Didn't you actually say...
We'll make up for it at the bar tonight.
Where's the hot chick from Long Island?
Yeah, where's the chick from Long Island?
There's a lot of hot chicks on Long Island.
Oh, I know.
That's a haven. But they have their own... They're their own beast,
yes.
The Long Island hot chick. It's like a special...
You have to get over...
They're like, Louis, pass me the coffee.
Call me.
I was venturing the guess only because everybody else is so much smarter than dumb Americans. It seems like it's easy to learn English. Am I wrong?
I think it's easy because that's what you... you know, you, there's no synchronization on TV. So actually, you'll hear the language. So you get used to it at a very young age.
Yeah.
And so you there's subtitles. And you start, you have, in school, you'll start, I think, in fourth grade.
But I mean America and England, you know, which is in America, but, you know, you guys are very influential.
Yeah.
Regardless if you like it or not.
Yes.
I mean, you just have to accept that responsibility.
Thank you for including that. We actually feel.
We are very influential.
I mean, regardless of, you know, whatever happens here and there, you know, it's like there's no way around it, you know.
Well, I wish there was some, like, former Saddam Hussein kind of, like, adjudicating board that could filter how we were influential.
Yeah, but those
you know what I'm saying? Like,
so we don't have to be so
influential. Yeah, so like only
that's the thing. I mean, along
Men,
with that comes
like Mad Men and Breaking Bad were all over the world, but like no one knew. like, you know what I'm saying? Like no reality show ever hit outside of our border. Like I wish we could like filter what it, and they'd just be like, wow, these are highbrow people out there in America. Those Brits and Americans are something else.
Bond.
Because
stirred.
I mean, it kind of happens that way in reverse. We don't really hear about anything from other countries unless it's unbelievably horrible or unbelievably awesome.
Right.
Like, we don't really hear about
it. Or it's when we need your help. We're like, guys, we have a problem.
Something's
here.
Going on. We really need you to step in. Yeah.
Or if it's Germany or Japan, something insane that goes on in porn. Like so, like a lot of poo and eels and stuff. That seems to make its way into America.
Oh, wow. From those two countries.
Yeah, those two countries.
That and anything manufactured, engineered, you know, automobile, construction, Germany. Yeah. And Japan, too.
Definitely.
So. Yeah.
I need to step up my knowledge game here.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. When it comes to poo-poo porn, let's go straight to Deutschland. Hello, Delia?
Yeah.
Delia?
Delia.
Hello,
what's
honey.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, now.
So I'm a little bit older than normal people who lose their virginity. I'm in my early 30s, and I recently lost my virginity, and I'm finding that I want to sleep around, I guess.
Understandable,
and,
I guess.
So you've suddenly broken it out, and now it's game on. Huh?
Ooh, I remember when I went to
And I don't understand why I'm finding it hard to find a friends with benefit type thing, because...
Because you're 32.
What does that mean? Guys my age don't want to commit. I'm not asking.
That's not true. Yeah, okay, listen. First off, don't talk to me like you've got the sex game figured out, because you just broke your cherry. Okay.
Okay.
I'm being serious. Like you're wrong to say guys at 32 are scared to commit. If you lost your virginity at 22 and then said, "Geez, finding hard to find friends benefits," I'd be like, "That's surprising. That's shocking," because a guy at 32 has gotten over that phase, and a guy at 32 is actually realizing the error of his ways.
Well,
in
they
his
sort
20s.
Of become human again at 30, 30, 32. But anyway, you should still be able to find somebody, I would think. Now, my question, though, is why, you know, I'm wondering if what's making you hypersexual now is the same thing that made you wait so long.
What does that mean?
Why'd you wait so long?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, listen, there's two types of later life virgins, and there's nothing wrong with either. There's the people who are like grew up in a religious household, or they had some reason they didn't want to wait for the right person, and they made a conscious effort to not have sex. Then there's people who could not get laid. So which one?
No. And then there are people who had some trauma and then turned the other way, shut down.
I wouldn't say I couldn't. I never made any efforts to. I used to weigh a lot. I lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
And
how much did you weigh?
Over 300 pounds. Okay. But I've weighed my current weight for over 2 years now.
All right. So whatever added to the
there's
whatever.
Always black guys. For big white girls.
Well, and there are people that really attracted to big
that's
girls.
All my point is I just never sought it out. I'm not saying I couldn't. I'm just saying I never sought it out.
Well, there's a reason for that.
But Delia...
Whatever triggered it. I don't even know what happened that
But you have to understand to never have that curiosity or enact that curiosity.
Drive.
To kind of never act on that is strange. And you sound like a smart person. You could probably understand
that. Well, one of the things that happens in this sort of 300-pound plus zone is people use their body as a way of keeping other people away. And so what I'm questioning is you're beginning to fit a profile of someone who had some significant trauma and then kept people away and shut down. And now you're moving into what's called a bipolar phase in all of this and becoming a little bit hypersexual. So I'm wondering what happened.
Uh,
well, do I have the most normal of family lives? No. Is that what you're asking?
Hey, Dalia, you called us, right?
What?
You called us. Is that true, or I call you?
Well, yeah, but
okay,
so
you want, do you want,
molested, as far as I know, no.
Do you want some help or no?
Yeah, but okay. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, let me ask me to clarify it. Oftentimes, okay, so oftentimes chaos in the family of origin, the witnessing domestic violence, drug addicted parents,
emotional and verbally abusive parents.
Okay, so that's profound, right? And you can understand how that could shut you down and make you. In fact, in men, emotional abuse is the most common precedent or the precipitant of sexual addiction. So you may, again, you may be in one of those bipolar sexual addiction phases where you go from shut down to a little hypersexual.
I acted in the opposite direction. I was a guy who went a little overboard because of emotional abuse and for early kind of exposure to sex. I went cuckoo.
And then you shut. Did you have any shutdown phases? Yeah, you shut down after your marriage and stuff. Yeah. And so that's a common sort of back and forth that happens when people have. And so you called up asking, why am I having this? Well, this is probably why. And there are treatments for it. And if you want to look into that, okay. If you don't, also okay. You want to find a friends with benefit. I'm sure you will. You probably have to go with a younger guy, right?
Yeah. What'd you say? Listen, there's plenty of 21-year-old guys who will bang you all day and not pay attention to you. I'm serious.
I don't think that's going to be good for you, Dalia. I think that's, you know, given what you've now described, that's gonna eventually have a consequence.
I think it also has to do with how you talk to these guys. Because I'm pretty good at promising a lot of things, and then, you know, when deep down it's not really what I would like. So it's also how you talk to them. So you have to be open and let them know that that's what you really want.
And by the way, it's not surprising either that you would be, now that you've kind of found sex and you've, I guess, had a comfortable experience with it, you want it a lot. You know, and that's cool. You're a grown woman now.
Enjoy.
Go have your fun. You know,
absolutely.
Just understand that sometimes if your motives to go from 0 to 60, you got to like always kind of analyze where that comes from. Because it's not like, you know, you're not moving at a consistent pace. You went from zero sex to I want it all the time. Just be careful that it's not something that's going to affect you personally.
It will. I can predict. That's a pretty good prediction. And so you might want to take care of that when you're ready. Okay?
All right.
Thank you. I didn't mean to be so harsh, but.
Well, no, we weren't being harsh. She was being.
No, I got a little abrasive.
Well, she was being a little difficult.
She was being difficult. 1-800-LOVE-191 is an. I thought I'd give her some good advice. You go on to Black People Meet. If she's still even close to 300 pounds, I mean, there's plenty of guys who come go
absolutely.
On there.
Absolutely.
New politics is here, everybody. All three have had very good success on the African American dating sites. later tonight, we are going to hear a track off of Bad Girl in Harlem, Everywhere I Go. And also, right after that, we want to know during the open forum, I'm looking forward to this, Dr. Drew, your biggest kind of romantic regret when you look when you look back on your life in a romantic sense, what do you cringe on? What do you just say, oh, man, I really wish I could erase that?
How you asked somebody out, how you broke up, things you said to them,
that's
sexual
all gonna be.
Conduct and behaviors.
It's all going to be coming your way later tonight on Loveline.
Don't worry. Loveline will return right after these words of wisdom.
You mean more advertising?
Yes. Brand new this week at PodcastOne.com, PO'd with Dennis Miller and Adam Carolla.
Awesome!
The king of all podcasts, Adam Carolla, joins forces with iconoclastic comic legend Dennis Miller.
If you're asking me whose voice most closely mirrors what's in my head, it's this cat.
Great guests, great topics, and new listeners, always welcome.
So get PO'd now. I mean, download the show now.
Always available 24/7 at PodcastOne.com.
That's PodcastOne.com.
LOVE-191 is the number to call us here. We're just talking Rambo with new politics. I agree that is the most violent movie ever made. The newest Rambo, the most recent.
It's got to be.
But in defense of Sylvester Stallone, if you're an old soldier living in the jungles of Burma, like, you have no choice but to open up hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not some fresh guy. He's disillusioned by everything.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You got to blast people out.
Yeah.
Like that nothing goes wrong for him. And, like, it just goes. Like, literally, you know, you're expecting at some point there's, like, a crash in the movie. He's, like he's almost losing
it.
He just keeps destroying. Literally, the whole movie is just him destroying.
Without a single scratch on him.
Yeah. Well, in his defense, though, the first, like, 30 minutes is him telling him, you don't stand a chance. You just turn around and go back up that river. Because you don't stand. And then
it's not going
to
happen.
No one listened. Those church-going folks really wanted to hand out their Bibles or whatever. And those Burmese sure got served hard by Sylvester Stallone. He warned them, Dr. Drew.
What are you going to do?
Burma, the war zone. You can't do any good without guns.
You're not gonna die.
Listen, that movie's way more believable than the most recent Rocky, just decides to lift weights and serve dudes who are, your age.
That was
so bad.
They
just start punching.
Amazing.
We better build some hurting bombs. And it just shows roided out HGH man. His body is actually growth hormone, Drew. Yeah. His elbows are the size of bowling balls, and his chin looks like the Rock of Gibraltar. And he turns into a syringe and starts just doing thrusters with like a Volkswagen, and then beats up a professional boxer who is like undefeated and at the top of his game.
There you go.
Yeah,
that sounds like a Rocky movie.
And by the way, that came out in like 2007. That's why it was widely ridiculed, because if that came out in 1987, people were like,
this is good.
I buy it.
He did it.
In the 80s, you could somehow become world class at stuff that takes years to be amazing at, you know, a couple weeks, and then win the world's biggest contest.
Absolutely.
That was the 70s, mind you. Led into the 80s.
You ever seen North Shore?
Starting the 70s.
Where a guy from Phoenix comes somehow destroys Laird Hamilton in surfing. He moves to Hawaii.
Date on that, Anderson.
Well, North Shore? 85.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not maybe. Not maybe.
But it was all an homage to the 70s, I'm telling you.
Side Out, where a guy moves to Southern California and learns how to play beach volleyball.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, it's the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible.
I think Hollywood should bring that back.
Yeah, we should.
I think Karate Kid is another good example.
Or Over the Top. Another one with Sylvester
Stallone. Yeah, but he was an arm wrestler for years.
But how about his son?
That movie.
That's right.
His son in the movie, you know.
That movie was amazing.
Over the Top.
Yeah.
Is an unbelievable film.
It is.
Like, if you watch it now, you almost can't believe that it got made. Like, you can't believe celluloid held that film. He's a truck driver trying to win back the love of his son.
By arm wrestling.
But also, like, we live in this weird world where somehow every truck stop has its own built-in, like, arm wrestling station. And, like, it's, like, the weirdest thing. Like, dudes get into bar fights, and instead of like he's just at a random restaurant, Drew, and he's like, "Listen, I don't do it in front of my kid." Yeah. And like some 400-pound guy's like, "Let's take it to the arm wrestling mat," and they just happen to have like a pro arm wrestling thing
set up, like in a barn in the back or something.
In Baker,
and it's just packed.
And everybody's like, "You got him, buddy."
Yeah. And then money's like being like, gambling starts. And
there's like three Vietnamese guys in a velour suit are like, who's got Stallone? They're already running a booking. What on earth? And he's sweaty.
Everyone's sweaty.
Why is he so sweaty?
He's oiled up.
He supposedly was like one of the better truckers.
Yeah.
You would think he had AC and that his kid doesn't. His kid doesn't sweat one bit. His kid.
And it's
is
not
very
even sweat.
Upset.
It's like it's an oily sweat. Yeah. It's like you can see that someone's been
he's obviously rubbing Crisco all over himself.
I don't understand.
A bit of gold bond.
What is that? That's the 80s sweat. And I actually had to ask. I did ask the costume people, the wardrobe people at my wife's TV show. I was like, "Hey, I saw Cobra the other day. The Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra.
Great movie.
Oh
he's
my god,
got
that's
the,
great.
The tightest jeans on ever in this movie. And listen, all props to Sylvester Stallone. He's in great shape. At all ages, he's been in amazing shape. But he's got, like, really tight jeans on, yet can kick, like, over his dome. And then I was watching a Van Damme movie was on, one of the horrible Van Damme movies. And he does the full splits, but he's
time
got, like,
cop, time
like
cop.
Yeah, like, super skinny. Yeah, I think it was Time,
time Cop.
And then I was like,
no,
well, how's
Lionheart,
that
because
I don't wear even close to that tight of pants, and I have trouble, like, doing certain movements. And they said, oh, they would custom make, like they put like spandex in his Balzinis. Yeah.
But you need that if you're like a, if you're, you know, if you're.
Like, it's the same as like Dancing with the Stars.
That just ruined my whole.
That's what I'm, you know what, that gave me an idea. That's what I'm doing for our live shows.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
I'm going to have jeans, so it's going to look like jeans, but I can still do all my breaking.
I've got even better. You don't announce it. It's just every new politics show, you're dressed as a different Stallone character. And you don't know which one you're getting.
Or
Van Damme. One night it could be Rambo. One night it could be Time Cop. One night, not Time Cop, Judge Dredd. Yeah. You could be Rocky. And he's come out in the...
Or the cliffhanger.
Oh, there you go. You're all in like with carabiners and stuff. Like you're going to climb a mountain.
Totally.
That'd be so sick.
That we could do like a 7-day Halloween when we get to Halloween, or like a costume thing.
I'm
on one of the tours.
I fully support this whole idea.
I like that
too.
Oh, the new politics is here. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
What's up, honey?
Nothing. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good.
What can we do for you?
Sorry, I'm kind of got a cold right now.
No, it's okay. I'm sick as well, so I hear you.
So my ex, who is actually my boyfriend now, we were...
Wait,
what?
Why would you describe him as your ex if he's still your boyfriend?
Well,
you're holding on to something?
My ex. We just recently became back together a month and a half ago. We broke up. We were doing the whole friends with benefits thing for like 2 years. And he kept saying, like, he didn't want to be with me. He wasn't in love with me anymore. And like I said, like, a month and a half ago, everything just changed. Now we're together. Like, he said we're official. Like, he tells me he loves me all the time. And the only thing I'm nervous about is, like, I'm afraid that since, like, I got what I wanted, like, I'm so happy now that, we're back together, that I'm going to start, like, being a pushover or, like, settle for things that, like, I should stand up for.
Like what? What do you mean?
I don't know. Like I kind of want to move in with him, like, this summer, and I'm afraid that he's going to make me feel like it's not okay for me to ask that, but at the same time, I think that I'm allowed to, so I don't really know how to, like...
But do you feel guilty of doing that, or what? It sounded like you were saying that you were worth more.
I just feel like I don't want to mess it up, but at the same time, if I want something, I feel like I should be able to at least, you know, ask him.
You definitely need to talk to him. I mean, this is a thing where you have to come out and, you know, you have to make him know how you feel.
Yeah, you got
to. And he has to let you know how he feels. Otherwise, this is never going to work.
But like, how much do I push for it? I don't want to.
Don't push.
I don't want to, like, push him away, but at the same time, I don't want to become that person who doesn't get anything they want because they're too scared of losing him to ask.
Well, you can't be afraid of that. You know, you have to say, hey, I need to talk to you because, you know, I'm kind of freaking out. But you can't be afraid of, you know, then you already are doing that, what you're afraid of. Then you're giving him that power.
And tell me how you feel about this, guys. I feel like if you feel very inhibited about even opening up to your partner, that's a good sign that may not be the right relationship.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
That makes me think.
I'm scared of opening up to him. It's just I'm scared of losing something that I've worked so hard to get.
If you consistently fear abandonment, that is not a relationship.
Yeah.
That's a hostage taking.
And you can reword it however you want, and it makes sense. You worked really hard. You don't want to lose it. But my point is that I consider my marriage to be a great relationship.
You have to feel,
I'm not at all hesitant to open up to my wife about anything.
It's not a relationship if you can't feel safe. All if right. you feel unsafe, the very basis of having an intimate relationship is not there.
I agree.
Jojo Lopez on Twitter said, don't forget Cool Runnings, where a bunch of Jamaican guys just win the Olympics. Oh, John Candy teach us how to go down the bobsled. It is a true story. Thank you, Anderson. But I guarantee it didn't happen in like a month.
What a great movie.
That is a good movie, actually.
John Candy.
There's more 80s movies like that where dudes just went Isn't Kickboxer like that?
Yes.
Because doesn't Tung Po kill Van Damme's brother? Kickbox. And so he's like, I'll just figure out how to be a world-level kickboxer to avenge my brother's death.
He fights the biggest guy blinded by sand at the end.
I'm going to go to Thailand
and
just...
No, that's Bloodsport.
Oh, is it Bloodsport?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. That seems epic.
No, I thought that was Kickboxer, right?
No, that was Bloodsport.
Which one's Bloodsport. OK USA? Because that's what... OK USA! USA. Yeah.
That's Bloodsport, where they all, like, challenge each other and he enters the competition...
What goes on in Denmark? They sit around and watch.
They're getting siphoned off all our crap.
We get them 20 years later because it takes a little time.
So they're very new
to,
for us. You know? So we're like big fans of Sylvester Stallone.
Top Gun is the newest movie in the theaters over there.
He called me Goose yesterday.
Yo, Goose!
The gayest scene in film. You could watch Brokeback Mountain on loop. Nothing gayer than the volleyball scene in Top Gun.
Playing with the boys.
Yeah.
We blasted that out on our last tour.
Yeah. We were playing volleyball on the beach.
We were so impressed with Spotify. They have everything. We were like playing with the boys. Boom.
More with new politics later.
We had that song on repeat.
One call is all it takes. 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
Coming to Podcast One this Thursday, The Chive, the podcast.
This is really cool.
If it's funny, it's hot, and it's trending, they're on it.
Yes, sir!
So tell all your friends The Chive's coming to Podcast One. Well, at least the ones who like comedy, sports, and boobs.
America loves what they love.
The Chive, the podcast. Coming to Podcast One this Thursday. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah.
Russia.
Hold on. We're
and
on
he destroys here. Russia without a single scratch or bullet wound or anything.
Callers.
Do you remember when he gets out of the well and he's just like in oil and anyways.
Come on now.
Yeah.
If you've just got regular men, you better bring more body bags. That's another thing from the by the way, New Politics joins us this evening. You don't get as good a tough talk anymore. Like those movies, albeit horrible. All action movies from my youth, and I'm talking about the 80s. I was born in 1979. So, like, 86 and on was when I really started getting into the idea of, like, the action film. And you go back, you watch them, terrible films. All of them.
Absolutely.
Every single one of them.
Disgusting.
I always watch them if they're on.
Me too.
I just got through saying they're terrible, but I always but the rhetoric.
The lines.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah. Stick around.
Yeah.
You can't make that up.
And also, they don't do the – I also hate how they don't do the bad guy completes the good guy's sentence. You know, they used to do that a lot, Drew. They used to do the, Bennett, I thought you were dead. You thought I passed away in Vietnam, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Hello, Lily.
Hi.
What's up, baby?
How's it going?
We're good.
Hey, Lily, one quick hold up here. Somebody reminded me on Twitter to shout out to our friend Jennifer. We might have forgotten, our Panera Bread friend. We promised her we'd shout out every night.
We've rocked
love
that girl's
Panera
world.
Friend.
Panera's great.
Yep.
Hey, Jennifer.
She's alone at a bakery. And she
I had a big problem with this. She called in the other night, and she's like, what do I do because I feel unsafe? Yeah. I mean, that was the kind of – and she's like, I work at Panera Bakery in San Bernardino, and I work the overnight. So I'm by myself in a bakery in San Bernardino at 3 in the morning, and I go –
Whoa.
Well, you kind of should feel unsafe. I mean, is this legal?
And Jennifer, I just want you to feel much better and more secure tonight. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for making her feel even better.
A bunch of cholos waiting out front. Yeah.
We told her we'd shout out to keep her secure and feeling less anxious.
Panera just turned into Precinct 13 as there's a bunch of guys lining up outside just waiting. All right, Lily, go ahead. Great reference.
Yeah, give me the bread with
feeling
cheese.
My sister, Jennifer.
What's up, Lily? Go ahead. You're on.
All right. So I'm 30, and I have been using a vibrator since I was 16 years old, and I cannot orgasm without it. I brought it into the bedroom and in a relationship, and it was really difficult, but I did manage to climax with it while we were having intercourse. It was really difficult for me, and even one time I got a splitting headache. I had to stop. Like, I was trying and so hard, focusing so hard to reach that orgasm that I felt like my head was going to explode.
Is there anything particular that made it difficult? Was there anything about
like, when I do it by myself, I can do it in 30 seconds. I can do it over and over and over again. It has to be like this constant vibration in one spot. So with him, you know, doing his thing, it was almost like interfering with what I need to reach, you know, my orgasm.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Is there a way he can sort of stay out of the way a little bit and still be there? You know what I mean?
Well, sure. And I did reach it, but it's just, why do I need that vibration? Why can't
you are a girl. Your biology is such that you need direct stimulation to your clitoris. That's just the way it is.
And to be fair, there's some desensitization that occurs over time with these vibrators. And so you sort of become dependent on it in a certain way.
That's what I think.
I wanted to ask a female this, especially what would be perfect would be a female OBGYN or something. But is there also a way in, because I've seen girls use dildos or use vibrators where it's like they're just kind of grazing their clitoris and like they're good. I've seen girls like mack down on them. And like, are those the girls that tend to get the major desensitization?
No one's going to answer that. I guess, you know, we sort of could take a little, maybe that's one of the open forums.
Yeah, seriously. Take a little. Lily, honestly, you just got to play by your own biological rules.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. You know what to do. You got to get him to cooperate and not be so, you should be less accommodating. He should be more accommodating.
Right. Work with it. Experiment.
It could be. It's a sexy thing too.
Yeah.
I've actually dated a girl where it was exactly like that. And you know, you as a guy, you feel there's, but literally there was nothing. There was nothing I could do.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I resign. Everywhere I Go is a single off of A Bad Girl in Harlem. The band is New Politics. We're gonna hear Everywhere I Go right now on Loveline.
Everybody knows. time for you to give us your opinions and insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
That was Everywhere I Go, one of the singles off of A Bad Girl in Harlem, current album, from New Politics, who joined us this evening. We're always happy when these boys are here. Working on the third album, Dr. Drew.
Yes, we are.
Vikings. That's what I'm talking about.
We have to keep it real. We have to let Lewis know that it's still from Denmark.
Yeah.
And we're still in control
we're
of your
still
life.
In control of your life.
Dude, you're gonna be in some weird recording studio in Copenhagen drinking blood out of a pagan skull.
Up, it's actually I'm he terrified. Already he's done that over since we met. That's actually the part of the
he speaks
initiation.
Fluent Danish now.
It's part of the ritual. Where is Valhalla? Where is it on a current map?
It's like right above Scandinavia, just like kind of up there.
It actually is.
In the air.
There
it's
is
like
there Jotunheim, where the giants live, the bad guys. Yeah. It's actually a real place in Norway.
Yeah.
And Valhalla is you take it's called Bifrost, the rainbow, and Heim.
Wait a second! You have to take a rainbow.
You have to walk on a rainbow to get to Valhalla.
Rainbow to get there.
You see my
it's pretty crazy.
Ask a silly
I've already
question.
Said.
People eating a lot of mushrooms.
I mean,
back then
they were eating a lot of going berserk and stuff like that, and drinking their mead and stuff like that before they went to war.
Yeah, they were like, "You'll never guess what I did yesterday. I walked in a rainbow and I came up to this crazy place." And we
Votan lives in Valhalla.
All I care about is that
I met Thor.
Everyone, we should thank. We complain so much about how like quality of life has gotten out of control, and we all work too much, and we all we're overstressed. But quality of life is so much better than any other generation before us because there's no Valhalla. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no Montezuma gutting you, and there's no Viking coming to eat your guts, and then you have to, like, forge through Finland in the snow for another. You know what I'm saying? Like we got it pretty good. We should all just get along. There should be no Ferguson. There should be no ISIS because we should all just realize that we don't have any more Vikings and pirates and stuff. Well, I guess there's pirates, but...
Not pirates.
They're not whack pirates that just kill clergy with eye patches. They're like pretty scary pirates.
You're right. I agree. I think we should be a little more grateful for where we are as a human race, even though there's a lot that still has to better.
Like
stuff,
Caligula doesn't invite you over and rape your wife.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all kind of pretty on the ball. Like, if you know what I'm saying? Like,
totally, totally. We have heat and lights and an iPhone,
yeah,
food.
All that stuff.
Totally.
It's time for the open forum. I have to start this one off. It is, what do you look back on, what do you think is the most cringe-worthy when you look back on your romantic career? That moment when you were younger and you asked a girl out in a certain way, or you did something special for a young man and it turned out to be incredibly embarrassing and bad. Because we all do that. We make these like mistakes in our youth. And I can't believe I even – the only reason I even talk about this now is because somehow – I got in like a weird world. I was on Regis – when I was filling in for Regis one time, and Bryan Adams was the musical guest. So I'm sitting there live on television talking to Kelly Ripa about Bryan Adams. And I was like, I have an actually really insane Bryan Adams story. And then it just came out because like all my friends wrote me and they're like, I never knew this about you. And
share it. Come on.
30 years old, you know?
Tell us about it.
And I met this girl on a business trip with my father. We went to Chicago, and he was going to visit the firm, the branch of the firm in Chicago, right? So he takes me. It was happened to be spring break, and we went out to dinner with one of his business partners who had a daughter who was exactly my age, and she was very nice and very pretty. So this is, 1991 or something, and so there was no idea. No one even smelled the idea of email. So I just got, like, her address, and we hung out, and I remember her telling me, like, her in that – year, her favorite song was "Everything I Do, I Do It For You."
Oh, the Robin Hood!
Yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God,
yeah.
A classic!
And she would talk to me about how like she would just listen to it on loop on her Walkman.
So this
and
is you guys on the phone later after you left Chicago, or was it?
She told me that in Chicago, but yes, we repeated this story and like how much she loved that, and she had the CD.
So you
single.
Maintained the relationship at a distance for a while,
and I would write, call her, and I would occasionally write her like a letter.
Yeah.
One of these times. I decided to put in an audio cassette of me singing that song.
Oh my God,
over Brian. Like,
please
this is
tell
green.
Me you have that.
No,
oh
she might. God. She might.
If she's around, please tell me you're a listener and send us that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That
so
is.
I recorded myself like singing, thinking that, And then so, like, I send this in the mail, and I don't hear from her at all.
And you think it's cool. You think it's the coolest thing.
I'm Clark Gable, as far as I know. So when I call her and finally get in touch with her, like, 2 months later, she tells me that not only did she get the tape, but she had like a sleepover with other girls, and they clowned me all night long. They just played it for each other, laughing their ass off. And I tried to play it off. I was like 12. I was like, oh, that's hysterical.
You got the joke.
I was destroyed. Oh,
my God, yeah.
Yeah, that's serious.
That's trauma right there.
That, that's a trauma for a 12-year-old, absolutely.
Yeah, awful.
Jeez.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Did you have that horrible sinking
feeling?
So
if I could remove
that's
anything
where your drug
from
addiction
my...
started right there.
Yeah, I immediately found blow.
Your future was set.
I immediately found blow. All right, so if you
12-year-old up in Northern Pasadena.
You, by the way, there's no, like, no one knew that in my life. Like, not my parents, not anybody. I never told anybody that, and I don't know why. I was like, hey, Kelly Ripa, let me tell the world now. And then so now it's out there. I might as well.
And then you go on eBay and she's selling that tape.
Dude. Well, I was young enough at least that like my voice was all high and cracked. So it wouldn't be – listening back now, it wouldn't be too embarrassing because it's
be
not
like
even
–
there's no semblance to me as a guy. Like if they – if like you know, when you find those embarrassing audition tapes for like actors, that's like brutal. But
that
yeah.
goes where we got to talk to her. She needs to make an amends. Destroy the 12-year-old's life.
Totally.
Send him off into a,
oh, no.
a career of love addiction. I mean,
she's awesome addiction. Now. Like, now you as a 35-year-old guy, I look at it and I'm like, yo, she rips hard. She's so awesome. But but back then, it was horrible. I mean, that was like.
But so
I
gotta did you say, stay like, with her or what? Or was that it?
No, I never ended. Talked to her again. Like, I was like, I better just pack up my bags on that one.
Forget this situation.
But you,
I wonder what she went through. I want to hear her side of the story.
Yeah, I do.
But I got to say, like, that takes guts to do that. I mean, I would
especially
never have been
a song
able,
like
I would
that.
Have been way too terrified to
do that. I wouldn't even dare
to
do that on karaoke drunk.
I know. But it took either balls or naivete because I was way before the age where I even realized that might take balls.
Right.
So I think it was just being kind of naive and like,
yeah,
thinking,
in love.
This
in
might
love.
Work.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So the open forum is kind of just that. What is your example of just cringeworthy things that you did in your past that that revolved around romance? Let's start with Priscilla. Hello, Priscilla.
Hi. I actually was going to say another story, but after hearing your story, I was like, oh, my gosh, I totally know a moment. So my boyfriend and I worked at, like, a pot shop together. And so, like, once in a while after hours, we would have, like, a few drinks and stuff. And I really liked him at the time. We weren't together. And I was trying so hard to, like, be cool and hang and, like, drink with the guys because I was, like, the only girl that worked there.
Yes.
And I got, like, super drunk, and I told him, like, to let's go outside and have some air. And I totally tried to, like, walk in front of him and be all flirtatious and, like, kind of wrap his arms around me, like, behind me, you know, like, where, like, the girl kind of backs it up and, like, it's just, like, cute, like, in the movies, but
yeah,
I totally
movies.
Failed and, like, kind of tripped and, like, I just ended up, like, backing my butt up onto him to, like, this awkward position, and he totally was, like, not reciprocating.
What are you doing to me?
He didn't even, like, try and, like, hold my waist or, like, wrap his arms around my shoulders or anything. And aww. After I did that, I was, like, so pissed because I was, like, drunk and I thought I was being so smooth. But, like, the next day I remembered and I was like, oh, my God, why did I do that?
Yes, well done.
So no. horrible.
Thank you so much for starting us off on this open forum. This is going to be a good one. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Tell us your story.
I called a couple days ago about the whole friends with benefits thing, but I got another one for you.
Yeah, please call us and let us know.
Let's hear it.
I was going down on my girlfriend, and she said she was salty. I didn't know what that meant.
Wait a second. Time out. She said those words to you?
Yeah.
She's like, she's like, I'm just giving you a heads up.
Hold
I'm
up,
salty.
I'm salty.
That's not common practice, Chris. Like,
but salty meaning
and
like
then
I'm not right.
I went down, and then I got what she meant.
Oh.
And then I immediately after done with that, I went to the bathroom, rinsed my mouth out, washed my, brushed my teeth, and I came back in, kissed her, and she said, "Did you just use mouthwash and brushed your teeth?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then she said, and then she just drove out of my driveway.
Dude.
Well, this girl's a party.
Yeah.
Did you just use mouthwash? But did you, what, I mean, did you say, did you get a chance to say anything? You said, well, you even knew going in that you were not necessarily your freshest.
You warned me.
Yeah.
All that salt and pepper and seasoning.
Chris, yeah, be careful.
It tastes pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Chris, there's a worse situation. I actually was with a woman once where I actually had to leave after we were done having sex, and I put Listerine on my wiener. Because,
really?
Yeah, because I thought that would be the best way to kill bacteria. Disinfect myself. I was really young. I was very young.
Wait a second.
How about the time with bubblegum?
First off, you burned your penis.
It did.
We all accidentally burned our wiener. But like, what did the girl say when you're dumping Listerine on your dick?
I was in the bathroom. It was like her mom's bathroom, and you know,
her mom's
pink
Listerine.
How old were you?
I was young. I was in high school.
And so you said, I know what I'll do.
I know what I can do to defeat all these,
you know, all these bacteria.
You know what? I bet you there's tons of dudes out there who did that with hand sanitizer.
Oh,
God. Oh my God.
And thinking like, well, if it works for my hands.
Yeah.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We've got some good stories so far. Call us up. Let us know. What is your most cringeworthy moment from your romantic past? That moment when you look back on it and you just go, God, I wish I didn't do that.
Oh, Lord.
I just really wish I didn't do that because I cannot shake that embarrassment. It may have happened last month. It may have happened 25 years ago. It just hurts to even think about it. You know what hurts to think about, Dr. Drew? How much people are paying for razors.
Oh, I know. And how difficult it is to access them when you're sitting in the pharmacy trying to, waiting for help to unlock.
There's the,
unlock.
Yes.
Who razors.
Am I? A thief? I'm not a thief. I just want my razors. But no, you put them behind the glass case. And then Dr. Drew has to go up to a counter and say,
no.
Can you unlock that for me?
They push that big red button and they
sure.
hear a call
Anderson Cooper.
Okay, help needed in aisle 9. Help needed. And they never show up.
And then aisle 9 guy shows up and he's like, wow, Anderson Cooper, you've been working out. And he said, I'm not him. I'm Dr. Drew. And then he has to get, then that guy or gal gets to your razors and it's a whole rigmarole. And then you end up paying a ton. So do the smart thing and go to DollarShaveClub.com. Lewis, you use DollarShaveClub.com.
I do.
I do too. It's great. Stop overpaying for space-age space shave technology that you don't need. Upgrade to a smarter way to shave. Shave time, shave money, DollarShaveClub.com. That's DollarShaveClub.com. Call us up with your cringe-worthy moments from your romantic past. This is Loveline.
One call is all it takes.
Exactly.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
Yeah, I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. Makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Girl with one arm.
Huh?
Yeah, you missed out on an insane conversation.
Evidently.
We talked about someone losing their virginity to a girl with one arm, and then finishing on the area where she's amputated,
the stump,
and then it would grow back like a guy with
person,
like five arms.
With arms. Just give it.
I know. That's what happens when you leave.
There's weird Scandinavian mythology flying up with Valhalla and giants and Votan and people
Medusa
growing limbs.
And who not.
It's a very strange way of thinking up there.
New Politics joins us this evening, and we are in the middle of the open forum with the boys from New Politics. And we want to know, what is your most cringeworthy moment that you wish you could just erase from your memory, but it's there. You know, when you think back on your romantic history, what is that number one most cringeworthy moment? Hello, Michael.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, man?
First time listening. It's a pretty cool show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. So this was the first time that I had ever sexually explored a girl, and it was like the first or second time for her. I don't know. It's probably like whatever. So she was very insecure, and her last boyfriend cheated on her. So she didn't want to do anything, which, I was fine with. I didn't know what I was missing out on. So one day she texts me. She's like, you know, I'm ready to get on some stuff if you are. And I'm like, well, yeah, I am. Is that even a question? So I pick her up after work, and we go to this neighborhood that's, like, right down the street from mine. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is going to be awesome. So we start doing things, and, you know, she's the first one to touch my thing other than me in like 16 years. So I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I started doing stuff to her, and I wasn't expecting the amount of fluid.
You mean from her vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like nothing prepares you for that. You know, you hear stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. Like,
right?
Not only the fluid, but just like the whole makeup of it. I mean, like,
yeah,
like you can deduce what a dick's going to be like, even if you, because it's just like a stick, you know. I mean, like a canal, like a mysterious, you know, debacle. That's like this like cavernous area in a woman.
What is this thing?
Yeah.
Wow, men are pathetic. Yeah. You look at a woman and go, "What's that gash?
Yeah,
what's going on?
What is that?
The fluid coming out?
It's so weird, but I love it.
We need better sex education."
Oh, dude, I told you, L.A. County schools. I saw Edward James almost put a condom on a banana, and that was my sex.
That's it.
He's like, "This is how you do it."
But I gotta say, like, if you need somebody to show you, then he's a good one.
It's no wonder men are so frightened of female sexuality.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh,
well,
God.
In our defense, even females are very confused about their sexuality. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's plenty of 23-year-old girls out there who are like, how do I orgasm?
Mm.
So you can't really expect guys to just have it all figured
all
out.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier for the ladies out there and the gay guys, because male sexuality is pretty easy to understand. We like stuff, and it makes us come. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Friction on our penis makes us shoot loads. The end. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Good, how are you?
Oh. Doing really, really well.
This is a fantastic story.
Yeah. So, I was like 19 years old, and I was totally into this older guy. He was 26. I like...
Oh. She just ruined it.
She cuss?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
S like that.
Oh, yeah. I wonder where she's calling from.
Let's find out when we get her back.
Yeah.
And
wait, hey! hold on. Slow down. Michelle.
Yeah?
You can't cuss on the radio.
I didn't cuss.
You said, you said S like that.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yes, and we twit you off the air a while ago.
We couldn't hear you since then because you were dumped because you were cussing. Anyway, don't cuss.
I won't cuss.
Okay. So you ate ice cream. You're lactose intolerant. You're then having sex.
Where are you calling from?
I ate ice cream, which was a total mistake. I'm lactose intolerant. We get back to his place afterwards. We are having sex, and he is like holding onto my stomach, and he pushes in a really, really bad way, and I totally like fart on him. And I was so embarrassed. Like, I'm 19 years old. I'm trying to impress this older guy, and he was just done. Like, he did not want to continue.
He sucks.
No.
Oh, that sucks.
No way.
What? Are you serious?
That's funny.
No, most men would not break stride.
When you say he was an older man, how much older?
26,
right? You said.
Was he an older gay male?
He's a bitch. Like, yeah, that guy's bitch made extraordinaire.
Like, he didn't want to be there for some reason already?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I think the whole
ice cream, lactose intolerant,
no,
farting.
No,
was
no,
just not his thing.
No, listen, I understand why you were embarrassed. I believe me, yes. I do. But we're all in agreement that that guy's a bitch.
Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
Mm. Oh, well.
He just took off? The guy just took off?
So the guy just took off? He just couldn't?
Done. She said he was done.
Unheard of.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's yeah. extreme. Yeah.
That's really true. I would have laughed and said, way to go, baby.
Yeah, sure. She didn't go, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm running, ran to the bathroom and hid. Yeah.
All right, Nick, you have a story that's oddly similar to mine.
Awesome.
Yes.
So basically, when I was in high school, a freshman, I dated this popular girl. She was like a cheerleader and all that jazz. And we dated for about 2 months. And she kind of been avoiding me a little bit, so she told me she was going to call me, and she wanted to talk about the stuff, but she wouldn't tell me to my face. So I kind of prepped for it, and I made, like, this CD with, like, these sappy love songs from, like, Something Corporate and Yellow Card. And,
yeah.
And in particular, a Something Corporate song called Mike Constantine, and yes. I was, like, playing it in the
Didn't
background.
Didn't we have the Something Corporate guy on last night?
Yeah.
When I was sick?
McMahon? Andrew McMahon?
Yeah, yeah, Andrew McMahon on the show last
funny.
Night.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That guy's rad. Anyways, so I was, like, playing in the background while I was talking to her, and she kind of picked up on it, and she kept, like, putting me on hold for, like, long periods of time, and then kind of coming in and asking a few more questions while I was singing. So, long story short, she recorded it, and she was hanging out with, like, all her cheerleader girls at that
night.
She put me on blast in front of the whole high school, and, like, everyone called me Constantine from, like, my whole
Oh, that's a bad one. I would be
worse
devastated.
Worse than yours.
Well, yeah, because he was in high school, and he went to high school with that girl. Yeah.
And the whole high school heard this
and
event.
And the whole high school. Oh,
yeah, I just hid mine away.
Yeah, no one ever knew
you
about it.
You just went back to your high school, and no one knew.
No one ever knew about
you
that.
You never went back to
but
Chicago.
But I knew.
I knew.
let's see. Oh, no. Hello, Sarah. Sarah?
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
What happened?
Oh, man. Well, about a little over a year ago, my boyfriend and I went to an Angels game, and we got a little plastered. He wasn't my boyfriend yet, though. He was a coworker then. And we got pretty wasted, and we went home, and we got in his car, and he was going to leave. So I think we started hooking up, but I was so drunk, I don't remember. Last thing I remember, I woke up in his car, probably about 3 a.m., and my shorts were soaked. I had peed my pants in his front seat.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, completely soaked. Like, I don't even think. No, I must have drank 10,000 gallons of beer that night.
Oh, my God.
Where was he?
That is amazing.
He was my coworker.
No, where was he?
He was in the seat next to me.
And he's just like, hey, peeing woman.
I think we just passed out hooking up or something. We were
okay.
so drunk.
What did you think? Like, how did you feel like you were going to resolve this situation? Because I know I've peed plenty of people's couches and plenty of people's beds.
Oh,
like, I passed out places where I'm like, okay, how do I hide this? What was going through your head?
I woke up and he was, like, asleep, and I was like, okay, so he probably doesn't know.
Right.
So I, like, started opening the car door, and I was like, hey, Ryan, I was like, you should probably not drive home. Like, we're really drunk. You can sleep on the floor at my parents' house. So we, like, go inside. He goes to sleep, and I go to sleep. And, you know, obviously, well, I actually went and took a shower and, like, changed and stuff, and he, like, passed out.
Bottom line is the urine dried into the seat of the car.
No, good call. There's no need to tell him.
Yeah.
Because I would pee on my friends' couches and stuff, and, like, I'd be like, dude. And then I'd leave, like, a beer bottle right next to where I'd
spill.
Pee. And I'd be like, dude, Jimmy totally spilled your couch, bro. It sucks.
When we did our first tour ever, our tour manager, he got really drunk, and he, you know, he just came slurring, like, we were in a van, mm-hmm. laid down on the seat, and suddenly I just heard the sound of water hitting plastic. And
our
there was, like,
water
bottles, and he just peed all over the van.
And mind you, this is in the beginning stages when we're in one of those, like, Ford
15
like a minivan.
Yeah, those minivans. Oh, and, like, the water, like, we're holding, we're, like, anything that we can do to not spend money. It's like, you know, those like.
And that's your tour manager.
Yeah, that's the tour manager.
That's the guy who's supposed to keep
and
you
in line. And it was just like all over our water, and that's like what we survived. You can't drink the water out of the, you know, the tab here like it. In certain areas
I heard the saber go like zzz, and then the sound of water hitting plastic.
The best part about people when they're that hammered, me being one of those people a lot, when they're that hammered and they're peeing like that, they don't know they're not peeing in a toilet. So they'll look at you and be like, what's up, bro? Yeah, like, what is going? What are you doing? Everything's fine.
I actually got a good peeing story.
Oh, we'll have that when we get back. New politics
there
are here.
Girl, no.
They're fantastic. My mind's telling me no. New politics
but
is
my
here.
Body.
A Bad Girl in Harlem, the most recent album. Go and pick it up because they're good men and they're great musicians. This is Loveline.
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, I'm Jake.
And I'm Amir. And we're from that appropriately named web series, Jake and Amir.
We're also the voices of If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us.
That's right. Every week we offer our personal insight to real problems submitted to us by real people, and sometimes even our comedy friends join, like Ben Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch, and Allison Williams.
The important thing is the advice is often pretty bad.
But hopefully always funny.
So go to podcastone.com and hit that download button to hear our terrible but hopefully funny advice.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, it is Loveline. A Bad Girl in Harlem, the new album from the very talented New Politics, who are our guests this evening. NewPoliticsRock.com, the official website. That was an amazing open forum. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome. Great.
A lot of entertainment there.
A lot of peeing stories.
Let's see. Hello, John.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just got off work.
And what would you like to talk to us about?
Well, one time when I was in high school, I was at a party with my cousin. And there's this girl I was trying to hook up with. Mm-hmm. And I was trying all night. Well, she ended up going with my cousin's friend to the room. And, you know, she goes down on him. Mm-hmm. They have sex. Well, I'm the only person at the party at the kickback that, like, doesn't know about it.
So and, you kissed her.
I hook up with her and make out with her in front of everyone. Well, everyone like knew that she just went down on the
floor.
And she just
she peed herself, sir. Watch your language. That girl.
Well, good times.
Yeah, man.
That girl's Ivy League material.
Definitely drink to her one of these days.
Holy mackerel. That poor girl. Like, she goes to parties and just like makes out with everybody, gets blowing dudes and pees herself. Like, what? Wow. That's what I would be like as a teenager if I was a chick. You know, like, you know, it's so sad to say, but I came away from it like, oh, silly young man. But if I was a girl and did anything that I did, I would be a disgusting tyrant. You know?
Totally.
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Drew, all the best, guys. And my best also to the absence of Emily and Rudy. You guys all do such a great service with
mostly
this
Rudy. Thank you. I appreciate it, Anthony.
Of course. And I just wanted to say hey to New Politics. And
thank you.
I used to hang out with you and when you were playing with Greg in the Shire crew with Alejandro and all them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. How are you?
Not bad. Congratulations, dude, to all your successes. And it's
you,
really
man.
Cool
thank
hearing you on Loveline now. It's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. What's just curious, what's life like now, traveling, you know, the world and seeing all this cool stuff?
Well, their tour manager pees on their water.
it's great, man. It's a good time, you know. I didn't get to hang out with two Danish guys all the time. And,
we're teaching him Danish.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn Danish. But no, it's awesome, man, you know, see the world and play music.
And
there's really nothing else I could ask for. It's been great.
The dream. And also, social New Politics, you guys, whenever I hear you guys on the radio, among all the other new kind of pop music. I love it. I'm saying, you know, turn it up.
Thanks so much, man.
Yeah,
that means so much.
They make a lot of good music, and you guys deserve everything that has come your way. Thank you for the call, Anthony. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Also, I mean, like, it is just kind of crazy. I mean, you've had hit records, and you tour, and you're very successful, and that's all beautiful. I mean, it really is. But isn't it just kind of crazy to be able to pay the bill, like to be able to make a living making music? It's insane, right?
Totally. It's insane. Yeah.
Like, that's the idea of it just kind of is hard to wrap your head around.
It's mind-blowing, man. It really is.
I think the most mind-blowing thing about it is that it was, you know, the first few years of doing this, it wasn't necessarily the easiest, and we did not have any money. So it's, you know, it gives you definitely, it makes you humble that you know that now we are able to do it, and it's such a beautiful thing, and our fan base is this, you know, super active, really loving group of people that are giving us so much.
Yeah,
so we're very lucky.
Honestly, like, as much as we like to get upset about how social media affects us and like everybody having a connection to each other, and don't get me wrong, there are plenty of reasons to get upset about it. I mean, there's a lot of meanness and a lot of anger and stuff.
Of course.
But with like Twitter and Facebook and whatnot and websites, like, it is pretty awesome when fans can have that connection to you when it's all happy.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, when you have a fan base like you do, and by and large, the way that fans respond to you and I, Drew, I mean, you know, there's always those people who ruin it for everybody, but it is really kind of special when you, like, people you absolutely do not know can kind of relate to you on that level.
Yeah.
They do so much. We were number one on the K-Rock top, or the countdown.
Yeah.
And that was just like, I just tweeted, oh, we're going to be on the air with Nicole on, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, make sure you check us out, like, for the fans, just so that they know. And then apparently half an hour after that, we were just voted to number one by all the fans. Like, we didn't even ask, you know, it wasn't even part of, like, they just do that automatically for us. It's wild.
Well, you guys do something very special in that you're a rock band that's not ashamed to have a lot of pop in your music, but it doesn't sound cheesy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you, I think that everyone kind of wants to be able to say that they do that, but it's not easy to do that. I mean, it's really not. It's very, I think it's easier when you go out, set out your mind to make cheese pop, and you do it, and more power to you. If that's your gig, you know,
if you're
Ariana Grande or whatever,
whatever resonates with
you. And it's awesome to make pure rock, and if that's your thing, but to kind of meld the two and like want it and go for it and do it successfully, it's very difficult, and you guys do it very well, you know.
Thank you.
And I, you know, it deserves being pointed out, because like the more and more like the music industry has a harder time making money as an industry, the more and more they want to compartmentalize music, where it's like, this is like, even genres have their own subgenres now.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like nice when you can see music that just kind of exists that like people like. You know,
I think that's one of the thing about us that also makes us such good friends, is that we don't necessarily, you know, we're not prejudiced against anything really. You know, we love music. It doesn't matter if it's hip hop or if it's, you know, whatever. We draw inspiration from all those things.
Who's like a current musician or band that you guys look at and you say, this is what we want to be? You know, a decade into New Politics, you know, we want to look like that.
I think
that.
We always want to write our own music, like do our own thing and be inspired by, you know, our environment and everything. I mean, we're still learning. We're still growing. Our albums are different, you know, thank God for that. But I think we're more inspired, like when we go out with big bands, if it's like, you know, we just got off tour with Paramore and Fall Out Boy, or it was Pink last year, or we'll go to, like, we'll do the Almost Acoustic Christmas, you know, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Because Pink's a pretty special person.
Totally.
You know, like, that's a pretty inspiring person.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice. She's a cool chick.
Yeah.
She really is just herself, and she's not afraid of showing, you know, showing who she is. And she's amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
She's a pretty special person. And also, I mean, you've got to be able to, like, the thing I love about the Fall Out Boy guys is that they were at a time like the biggest rock act in the world.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden just got the wool pulled out from underneath them. And then were able to cobble it back together.
That,
and now they're
like, you
and
see,
that takes
stuff
a lot
like,
more balls, I think, than
absolutely.
Just being
stuff
big.
Like that inspires
us,
like us. I think when we see and we experience that, you know.
Let me just point out, I said wool pulled out from under you. So
carpet.
It's the wool pulled over your eyes. The rug pulled out from under you, and I
don't know, because I get lost in translation 24/7. So I think I just like kind of
got
smitten by me.
Yeah. That's why we brought the Danish girl, so that I didn't have her.
No, totally. Those things I think really inspire us, and I think they also, give us like meaning and give us like a means to want to learn and grow and know that there's opportunity. Because when this all started and you read the contracts and you go into it, you really realize that you're going in with this dream and you're a needle in a haystack. And that's the truth. Rather, you know, it's like that. You take that or leave it. That's for any band. You know, it's like when you look at all the contracts and this and what you're dealing with and how that like that whole like thing works, you realize and you start doing just basic calculations like, oh, well, so if this amount of money comes in, it ends up being this and blah, and you have to, you're responsible for this and this. You start realizing you're like a needle in a haystack.
It's really it's amazing. Truth, that's what I was saying. Like I think people don't understand that in any facet of the entertainment industry. If you just when you're starting out, you think if I could just pay my rent, if I could figure out a way to just make a living at this, what an amazing gift that would be to just be able to say like this is my job, and you know the rest is kind of just gravy.
Yeah,
you know, I remember Kurt Cobain saying that. You know, like it's he's like truth, when man, I first would hear like songs on Nevermind on the radio, and I realized, oh, I can actually just like this is gonna be my, I don't have to get a second job.
Yeah, totally.
Like that was when I knew like I would be happy. You
that's
know?
That's like I think where we are right now in our career. It's just like, you know, that sort of we're like that's become a reality, and for us it's just like we pinch ourselves and we just want to continue doing what brought us here, you know, and that's just staying humble, working hard and learning, growing. And
one very important thing with this, it's also very related to
the whole
social media thing, is that you as an artist you have to be able to, you know, really relate to what you're saying and who you are, and nowadays you can't hide. If you're trying to hide who you are, you're going to come off as being pretentious.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you know you're not afraid of showing people who you are, because they will find out no matter what.
No, and pardon the pun, but I think that's the big problem with politics, like not new politics, who I'm talking to right now. The idea is that it's so much easier to sniff out BS, you know, and you have these guys who are, you're like, well, they're not real people, and they're trying to talk to me on my level, and they're not. They're not real people.
Yeah. No.
And you kind of search to the internet for these people who are just being normal. The transparency is a lot, like, it's a lot more of a tangible thing nowadays. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
And it's a healthy thing, because it's important.
Totally.
If there is any good things in the social media, it is exactly, you know,
the truth.
Yeah.
It's very truthful. No, it's true. New Politics join us this evening. It's always a pleasure when they're around. A Bad Girl in Harlem, the album, available everywhere music is sold. NewPoliticsRock.com. More of your calls on anything you want here on Love Line. Straight ahead.
This is Love Line.
LOVE191 is the number. David, Soren, and Lewis join us this evening from New Politics.
Yeah!
Oh! Love Line.
I wish you guys could come by like a couple times a week.
That'd
I
be
love
awesome.
It when you're here.
That'd be incredible.
We're just calling us and we'll come flying.
Yeah. That'd be sweet. A Bad Girl in Harlem is their most recent album. Everywhere I Go, we played earlier this evening. It's a great album from a great band. These are good dudes, and you should support them. NewPoliticsRock.com. Let's see here. No. I got to talk to Frank. Sorry. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, man. So I was wondering, I used to work in wood refinishing maybe about a few months ago.
Uh-oh.
And I got some of the chemicals on my hands.
And then you beat off.
I went to take a leak at the porta potty, and I think I touched it, and I ended up kind of, I guess, burning off the top layer of foreskin.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Wait! But Frank, I gotta ask you.
Oh my God!
Why wouldn't you be wearing like industrial gloves if you're dealing with that kind
and
of?
I took them off to take a. And
well, you have pee-pee.
I don't know what happened.
How did you not burn your hands then?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it. I think maybe just it's
much. Was it a drop from the
glove?
Well,
and hand skin and foot skin is different.
It is different, but you should still, if it's that severe a burn on the foreskin, you would still think there'd be something on the hands.
But Beto skin is like super soft.
No, I understand.
Not ball skin, by the way, is like elephant trunk. Have you ever noticed that? Your balls are crazy.
Rudy told me about that. Rudy taught me that. But here's my question, though. Were you perhaps with a new sexual partner around that time, too, like within a week?
No, I mean, I'm married now. I was single before, but I'm married now.
Everyone was single before they're married, but were you having a new any new sexual partners around the time that this thing happened?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
All right, so what's the question?
Well, just I want to know what I can do to kind of, because it does heal. But
why don't you
just
cut your foreskin off?
Wait, it heals.
I don't want to snip it. I'm attached to it, I guess you can say.
I think whatever's going on is different than what you think is going on. I'm not quite sure what this is.
You should get it checked out.
Yeah, a doctor needs
to
look.
You should go to the doctor.
No, I have. I went to go get, I did the STDs and all that stuff, and none of that stuff. It's not like, I don't know what, you know, what herpes would do to it or anything like that. It's no sexual disease. It's. I honestly think it was just the fact that I had that chemical on my hand, and I touched it, and then it started to peel like off, like a really bad sunburn kind of, and then after that it healed. And the thing is that now when I want to, you know, do it, the foreskin doesn't go back all the way, and
right,
it ends up
you're gonna need a circumcision.
Sorry,
I mean, that's called a phimosis, and that's why people get circumcisions. So you need to see a urologist. You need a circumcision. Now maybe there's some sort of stretching procedure they can do, but phimosis is what happens. It's why people get circumcisions. So they have to deal with that. The head won't come out of the foreskin. It's very uncomfortable.
It's your foreskin's kind of like appendix. Like you can go with it, but you don't need it.
That's right. Well, and it can cause some trouble.
Hello, Emma.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Så drenge, jeg tænkte på at få lidt slibrige detaljer på dansk her. Så David, hvad er dit bedste scoretrick, og hvordan får du den ligesom kørt helt hjem for at få en pige med hjem i seng?
Is that a record playing backwards?
Exactly. It's either like Helter Skelter played backwards or Danish.
She wants to know in Danish how I would charm a girl and get her home with me.
Oh, okay. Well, answer in Danish.
Yeah, answer in Danish, please.
Drikke en masse alkohol og stå på min hoved.
He'd liquor her up, is what he said.
I would drink a lot of alcohol and stand on my head to impress her.
That is impressive.
That is very impressive.
You know why I just realized? Danish sounds a lot like gay German. Doesn't it?
That actually sounds very Danish. When you just said that.
Right,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was like a mix of Danish. Var den god nok, eller hvad?
Ja, det er super.
Det håber jeg.
Men hvorfor ville du stå på hovedet?
Fordi det er ret imponerende, er det ikke? Det synes jeg i hvert fald.
Vil du så drikke samtidig?
Ja, eller hvad kunne man gøre? Snurre rundt måske?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds good.
The censors don't have any idea what to do. They
go nuts.
Censorship people all over Los Angeles, they're prepared for Spanish. They've got it down.
They're just like, all right, we need a new thing. New politics have arrived in America, and we need a Danish translator.
Well, Emma / Josephine, I hope
Josephine, Emma.
I hope he answered your question sufficiently. That was pretty awesome. Hello, Natalie.
A first time on Loveline, huh?
Hi.
That was definitely the first time someone has spoke Danish, yes. Hello, Natalie.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello.
So, my best friend and my boyfriend have been talking a lot lately and have been getting pretty close. And I'm not sure what to do about it.
It's a female best friend and your boyfriend.
Yes.
So you have a weird feeling about it.
I saw my friend's phone, and I looked at some of the texts between her and my boyfriend, and I'm worried about it.
Give me an example.
Like, they've just been,
tell me a specific text that you read that was disturbing.
That he was saying,
asking her for nudes, and I didn't know.
Nudes? For nudes?
What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bad news. Bad news. Yeah.
That's really bad news.
Yeah, so that's not bordering on being inappropriate.
That's a disaster. that's a complete disaster.
Yeah, so, I know. And we're really good friends, and I've been with my boyfriend for a year, and I just don't know what to do about it.
Well, what was her reaction? That's a big key factor.
Did you confront one of them?
She said no, but, you know, when I asked her about it, she denied it. So I don't know.
Wait a minute. Denied that he requested nudes? Yeah. You read it.
Yeah.
Huh?
You said he requested pictures of her?
Yes.
How could she deny it? The fact is the fact. That's what you read.
I mean, then.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Does that change that you saw the text just because she said no? I mean, you saw it.
Well, I mean, I saw them, and then I didn't know what to say.
Did you see the nude she sent them?
It wasn't the same day.
All right, listen. This is bad news. Confront the hell out of the boyfriend.
Unless he has her as a name, as a different name, as like a...
Somebody else.
Yeah, for someone else. If she really didn't, you know.
It's all bad.
Yeah, it's all bad either way.
It's bad regardless.
No, you got these people are not your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boys, it is truly always a pleasure when you're here. You guys are so awesome to our listeners and our callers. You're, you know, it's just no surprise. You're so great to your fans, and I really am so happy to see all your success. Every time you come back, you're more successful, and you deserve it. And so,
thank you.
I hope you're like you too next time you come back to Love Island.
that would be awesome.
Except without broken face like Bono.
I know, that's sad.
A Bad Girl in Harlem is the most recent album from New Politics. Everybody go pick it up. NewPoliticsRock.com. Again, the open is the website, I should say. And in this crazy mix-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline
is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.
When you're ready to buy a car, you got to go True Car, because True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. Dr. Drew?
First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, second, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings.
Yes. And third,
it's simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience.
Some features not available in all states with TrueCar. You can save time, save money, and never, ever overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
That's TrueCar.com.